Welcome to Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from January 27th, 1997.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening or good morning, as that case may be. Across all these many, many time zones, stretching from the Tahitian and Hawaiian island chains, eastward across this great nation to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south well into South America, north to the pole, worldwide on the internet, this is Coast to Coast AM. Brand new week underway. Good morning. I'm Art Bell. It is great to be here. I've got some pretty big news for you and a guest coming up, a surprise guest. His name is Timothy O'Reilly, and I was motivated to get him on the air by finding something that I have looked for years and years and years. On many of my Dreamland programs that have dealt with near-death experiences, with many, many, many guests that I've had on, including a guest that I've got this coming weekend on Dreamland. That would be the world-famous Dr. Raymond Moody. There has been rumor of and discussion of, from time to time, an old medical report that that was said to have documented in some way the existence of the human soul, or soul substance, if you will. Well, bless his heart, a physician out there somehow, from somewhere, came up with this article. A man named W.E. Fair, medical doctor, M.D., just simply said, "Hey, Art, this is the original article on the weight loss at death you mentioned on Dreamland last Sunday." Signed, Dr. Fair. And I was absolutely and completely astounded. Here it is. It is from the from American Medicine, a publication called American Medicine, complete series, volume number 8, published in concert with the Journal of Physical Research by courtesy of the editor. It is a medical study done in 1907, and I know of no follow-up research. I wonder why. Entitled Hypothesis Concerning Soul Substance, Together with Experimental Evidence of the Existence of Such Substance, by Duncan McDougall, M.D., Haverhill, Mass. Now, in this, they document about 5 or 6 cases, and they will describe the individual patients and how the experiment was done and all the rest of it. 5 or 6 patients who died. And somehow they cooperated with this researcher, this doctor, and this doctor measured a weight loss, an actual weight loss at the precise instant of death. Well, thanks to the good offices of Keith Rowland, who runs my webpage, as you know, does an absolutely wonderful job of doing that. We've got that article typed in. What a job, huh? Word for word, and on the website right now. This is something you're going to really definitely want to see, read, and copy. So I'm telling you, it's there as of now. Go get it. That's number one. And that motivated me to get as a guest Timothy O'Reilly, who's coming to us from New Jersey. And I'll tell you more about him in a moment. And it's a kind of a related follow-up when you consider, which we do, of course, whether there is something that lives beyond death. He's got a video entitled Round Trip, The Near-Death Experience. And I'll let him tell you all about that. In the meantime, I want you to get up to the web and read this article. this actual medical study. And then I believe they went on to study about 70 dogs as well. And you will find this interesting. 70 dogs that died. There was no measurable loss at the instant of a death. This is a most remarkable... This is comes under the category of lost and now found again. And I really want to thank the physician who sent this to me. This has been nothing but myth and rumor for as many years as I've been dealing in the paranormal, and now, by God, we've got our hands on it. So, go take a look. All right, I've got more on the web for you to see. I've got a photograph of an extremely strange metallic ball that has fallen in Texas from the sky. And I can never pronounce the name of this town. Seguin or Seguin or... Somebody help me out. I always foul it up. It's where Waldandris lives. And Waldandris, I think, is the founding father of MUFON. So we've got that up there, and I've got an article on it. We'll get to that. Kansas City had a flash bang and something fell. We'll talk about that. There is a picture of some young fellow with his cat and his Levitron. We should call it Levicat, and that's up there. There's a whole bunch of stuff on the website. Most of all, of course, I want you to see this long-lost article regarding weight loss in human beings at the instant of death, said to be the substance that we know as the soul. Why would the soul have weight? And yet, how else can you account for an actual measured weight loss at the very instant of death? What would it be? And you will find in the medical study that he was very careful to document what it was not, leaving only this possibility hanging. All right, in a moment, Timothy O'Reilly. What's it like to die? That is the subject of Timothy O'Reilly's round trip, the near-death experience. According to a Gallup poll, 8 million people, that's a bunch, claimed to have had an NDE. And Mr. O'Reilly interviewed 5 of them, each with a very different background, but very similar experiences, quote, on the other side, end quote. Here from New Jersey, where it's getting real late, is Timothy O'Reilly. Timothy, welcome.
Yeah, hi, Art. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Why in the world did you decide, well, before we even get to that, I sent you earlier in the day, faxed you a copy of this amazing article,
right.
This medical study about the weight loss at death.
Right.
And I just wonder what you thought of it.
Well, I thought it was very interesting, too. And especially back in 1907 to do something like this. But it makes sense to me. It makes sense to me that the soul, the spirit, has some weight to it.
Some sort of substance.
Yeah, I believe it's an energy. It has to have an energy.
An energy, though, would not... Well, I guess... Does energy have weight, mass? I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, with the near-death experience, the incredible thing about it is when people do die, they still have their conscience. You can still think the same way, and you feel like you have a body, you can't see it, and you feel like it's transparent. So to me, that's something. That's some kind of energy.
All right. What made you decide to go out and interview people who had had a near-death experience? I mean, why did you do that?
Well, I had a personal interest in it, actually, ever since about 81 or 82, ever since reading Raymond Moody's book, Life After Life. And when I did decide to do it, I wanted to do something different with the NDE as a documentary video. I wanted to use it as a therapeutic tool, actually, not to analyze it, not to have a skeptic. and so people could benefit from it.
In other words, put bluntly, those who were dying or facing death would be able to sit down and watch this as therapy?
Right, right. Not only that, people who have lost a loved one, people who are bereaved, and if they have a belief in the afterlife, do feel better after watching the video.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. What it does, it confirms that the spirit, you know, does go someplace and there is an afterlife. And the people who are open to this and who believe in it feel that their loved ones are in a safe, loving place. And it does actually make them feel better.
Well, naturally so. In doing this video, did you come to believe yourself, or where were you before you decided to produce the video, belief-wise?
I believed in it. I had a brief experience of my own, which I didn't realize until I was doing it. I did believe in it, and once I was making the video, I really believed in it, and everything made sense to me. It just confirmed it, actually.
All right. Perhaps you can relate to us some of the cases that were covered in your video.
Okay. Okay, Catherine, she was on her deathbed. She was in and out of the hospital for about 8 years. She had an accident, I believe it was a boating accident, and injured her spine. And after 8 years, she was on her deathbed. She was just, her nerves were not working right, and she couldn't see, she couldn't eat, hardly could speak. She was down to 75 pounds.
Mm.
Okay. She had her near-death experience at home. There was two people in the room with her. They were actually praying for her. And after her near-death experience, she woke up, tested the floor, got up, and walked. She wasn't walking before. She was actually in a wheelchair, and she walked. I mean, she was healed. And because of that, she became a healer. She became a intuitive a healer.
You mean she regained her health?
Right. She regained her health completely. She could see. She could hear. She could eat. She had trouble eating. She wasn't eating. Her kidneys were failing. That's probably caused her to get close to death anyway. And she was completely healed.
All right. Well, when you say NDE, near-death experience,
yeah,
how do you qualify it? Does it mean that no heart beat, no breathing?
I would say a clinical death, and sure, that's what it seems to happen. When their heart stops, they stop breathing, and they usually have an out-of-body experience where their soul goes up above everyone in the room. Or, like I believe with Catherine, she just entered right into the light. Some people go right into the light. There was nobody there. There was just two friends. There was nobody there to... I don't know if they realized that her heart had stopped, but she said it felt like the roof of her house just blew off, and she was in this this brilliant, bright white, and she felt as though, you know, then they had your typical elements where she felt this overwhelming love, unconditional love, and actually she saw her grandfather, met her grandfather when she was there.
Met her grandfather. Do people describe... In other words, you have a consciousness. There's no change in that. There's no glitch. You don't, in some way, enter a different realm. You're still as conscious of yourself as you were the instant before you died?
Right, right. Alan, he was on my tape. He had difficulty during a kidney stone procedure in New York in a New York hospital. He said it felt like a rubber band snapped. That he was in a different realm. That's how he described it.
Is there any on the tape? Do they describe the specific medical conditions when these things occurred?
Mary, she was giving birth. She described she had an emergency cesarean section.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, and then I guess there was difficulty where her heart had stopped. But she doesn't go, they don't go into the medical details of it.
All right. So they all say the same thing, Timothy, roughly, or are the stories different?
Well, the stories are different. Each one has a different experience over there, seeing-wise. Like I said, Catherine saw her grandfather, came into her with open arms. Mary met these other beings, other people. Alan didn't see anybody he knew. But they all have the same feeling. There's this feeling of warmth, this feeling of, as John described it, a perfect place to be, a place where there's no self-consciousness, filled with this, engulfed in this unconditional love, this warm love. No anxiety. Heaven.
Do these did these people say they had any choice in the matter? In other words, here you are in this perfect place, and yet they left. They came back to a painful whatever.
Right. I understand.
Were they given a choice?
Only one was actually given a choice. Helena. She had two children. I believe they were in their adolescence. She said she could have stayed or she could have went back. But she said any decision would have been okay. If she would have stayed, it would have been okay. If she would have went back. But she did, while she was there, she did see her two children. She says they were kind of like floating by in a cloud. And she also saw her ex-husband. And then she said there was some type of dialogue. And the dialogue on the other side is usually telepathic. It's thoughts.
So,
if you meet another being, it's not, they don't open their mouth.
So even though you have do they say they have a physical sense as though they can see? I mean, I can hold my hand out. I can see my hand, my arm.
Yeah, they could see other people, like other beings. But I think the other beings are also like this, the transparent. They're white, and they get this feeling they're filled with love, but they can actually, see them, like Catherine describes herself as free-floating, transparent, floating around. So they can see. They can see images. I don't know if it's not solid. It's transparent, but they can.
So it's not as solid a world as we're you and I are in right now. It's a different ethereal sort of place.
Right, because there's no space. There's no time. There's no weight. So if you can imagine that type of environment.
Did you, what manner of interview did you use when you talked to these people? I mean, did you just sit down and say, would you tell me your story and just let the camera roll? Or did you ask questions or how'd you do it?
I had a list of questions. And actually I went to meet them first to introduce myself and to go over a list of questions. I had maybe 20 questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there first to familiarize myself with them and to make them feel comfortable. And then I went there the next time, the second time, with a camera and a small crew. It's a very sensitive subject. People have to trust you to really feel safe about talking about something, because let's face it, if you have this experience and you start telling people at work or your friends,
mm-hmm.
they're going to think you're a little crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I went over there first. And being that I had a brief experience of my own, they sensed that. They realized that I knew what they were talking about.
Yeah, here's somebody I can talk to.
Yeah.
Because he knows
about
it.
I had many compliments and saying, oh, where did you get these people? They were fantastic, a great selection.
All right.
And I didn't select anybody. They were just the ones that came forward.
All right. Well, we'll talk about your experience when we come back. Stay right there. Timothy O'Reilly is my guest. He's done a video. People who have gone over there and come back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from January 27th, 1997. Premier Radio Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired January 27, 1997.
That's what it is. I'm Art Bell. My guest this hour is Timothy O'Reilly. And he has put together a videotape of people who have gone and come. Round trip, it's called. The Near-Death Experience. And it's very much along the lines of Dr. Raymond Moody's work. The difference being, these people actually tell their story on videotape. There's something about being able to look somebody in the face, see their eyes, see the way they move when they tell their story. According to a big survey, Gallup, 8 million people say they have had this experience. Moreover, if you will check my webpage, you will find a link to Wellspring, and one of the available videos in their catalog is indeed Timothy O'Reilly's Round Trip. All of this on the back of an incredible find, this article on loss of weight at death, at the instant of death. It is a medical study done in 1907 that until this moment, frankly, was myth. You'll find that on my website at www.artbell.com. I'm urging you, read it. We'll be talking about it. And while we're on the subject of Dr. Raymond Moody, he'll be my guest this coming Sunday on Dreamland. Man, now that's timing, isn't it? I faxed a copy of this newly found article to Dr. Moody earlier in the day. Back to Timothy O'Reilly in a moment. Back now to Timothy O'Reilly. Timothy, you had an experience yes. of your own.
Yes.
What happened to you?
Well, I was hit on the top of the head with a huge rock thrown. I was 10 years old at the time, thrown by another kid. He was holding up this rock with both hands over his head, and he threw it down from a hill. I was at the bottom of the hill. It was about 30 feet. I was knocked out. I fell down. But what I remember is I was still standing right on impact. As soon as it hit me, I felt I was in this black void, and my arms were outstretched, and I heard this buzzing sound. And I felt that this was my spiritual form. Not till later on in life when I realized, when I was doing research for this project, it was just completely black. There was no weight. It was like having my eyes closed, and I felt like I still had my body, and I started to zigzag back and forth. Although I felt that it was, felt transparent as well. And I was zigzagging back and forth, and it seemed like my legs were melting, disappearing from like my knees down, and I felt like I was just going back into my body. That's what it actually felt like. And while I was there, I was not afraid. I was only 10 years old. Maybe that's why. And I didn't have any feeling of joy or anything. I didn't see any light, anything like that. But I definitely, you know, come to. After thinking about it and talking to people, it seems like my spirit, as soon as my body had that tremendous shock, being that the rock was so huge and my head was not that, skull wasn't that big at the time, probably just shocked my body and shut my system off maybe and my spirit ejected. That's what I have heard. When your body gets traumatized like that, your spirit will eject. And I guess it said, okay, you know, just for a couple of seconds, whatever, I'm not dead, I guess, and just went back in. I don't know. But it seemed to lay dormant until about 30 years later when I was, you know, I started researching this video.
All right. Who do you find will most frequently order this video? Do you get more orders from people who have some sort of terminal diagnosis or from families who are bereaved?
No, actually it is for the general audience. My first intention while I was making it was for people who have lost a loved one or the terminally ill. But then I realized it's really for everyone. People who have lost a loved one, which I think it's everybody, unfortunately, will benefit from it. And it is in several hospices, although it's a sensitive environment. But it's really for everybody. Because what the near-death experience is about, which I believe is, it's about overcoming the fear of death. These five people I interviewed, they have absolutely no fear of death after the experience.
Now, that is a universal statement these people seem to make.
Right, but what happens, when that happens, it seems like it opens you up to love. When you lose your fear of, especially death, it just opens you up to this unconditional love, which they experience over there on the other side, and they do take back when they come back. So I think it's a message. Some researchers, scholars, talk about the global NDE, 8 million people alone. There's a reason for it, I believe. I believe there's a reason for these people having this, is to come back to us and to tell us, have no fear. Open yourself up to love.
You know, a lot of people believe...
Stop killing each other.
Yeah, a lot of people believe, Timothy, that religion in general, belief in the afterlife specifically, is something proffered just to basically keep people in line. In other words, if you believe there's judgment, there's something that comes after the present life,
right,
then you're probably not going to go out and do something awful. If you think there is nothing and materialism while you're here and whatever you can grab is it, then you begin to get a different class of people. We may, by the way, be well on our way to getting that class of people when you look at the news out there every day.
Yeah.
This has convinced you, and talking to these people has convinced you, interviewing them,
yes,
that there is something there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. If I was to say that, you know, I'm 99% sure, or it's not, it's still a mystery, or I just can't say it, I just feel I would be lying. I cannot say that. And it's talking about religion. The people on the video, and I think a lot of people, I don't know, I can't say the percentage, they feel religion separates people. Organized religion separates people. And when they come back, they really don't
get anything
from organized religion.
Oh, that's interesting. So they don't automatically suddenly gravitate toward it.
No, no. And in fact, besides the five people on the video, I also have two researchers. One's a researcher, writer, Michael Grasso, NDE researcher. The other one is Steve Rosen. He's a parapsychologist, philosopher. They're both published, and they teach at universities. And I also have a Catholic priest on the video.
Oh, you do?
Yes. And he seems to be a favorite, actually, one of the favorites. And he talks about his idea or feelings of what heaven would be like, and they're very similar to what these people experience. Actually, the warmth, talks about love, and he says that the Catholic Church doesn't look at the NDE as something hokey. They kind of respect it.
Well, I respect it, too. I've talked to too many people. I've interviewed Dr. Moody and others, Danion Brinkley, many times.
Right.
And I have an absolute respect for it. The only thing missing from all of this was any sort of science at all. In other words,
yeah.
It's always Dr. Moody's interviews, or interviews you would do even on a videotape with people who have had some kind of an experience. But I could go out and find a doctor, a surgeon,
right,
who would say, look, what's happening to these people is as the body shuts down, the brain naturally shuts down, mm-hmm. basically from the outside, moving toward the core or the center of the brain. So yeah. as it shuts down, people tend to see this center light or energy that remains at the center of their brain.
Right.
Have you heard that?
Yes.
How would you argue against it?
Well, I don't think this is, first of all, this is an spiritual experience. But I don't think, I'm not trying to avoid the argument by saying that, but I don't think we can, or we're supposed to, scientifically prove this. In other words, I think it's just based on faith. We're just blind faith to take this leap. In other words, these people have this experience, 8 million people. They come back and they tell us this experience. I had this feeling we're supposed to believe them. We're supposed to take this leap of faith and saying, yeah, that's right. So I don't know. In other words, how can we scientifically prove this anyway? I think there's been data documented from people who have out-of-body experiences where they're floating up in the room and they actually see the whole medical procedure that's taking place.
That's right.
And they verify it, and there was no way, unless they were floating up there, that they did see that nurse come in and drop a vial or go into a drawer. That's the only thing we do have. But how can anybody judge? How can anybody scientifically prove this this experience?
The evidence remains anecdotal, perhaps save this study that I found. But
right. Yeah.
But what about? What about the testimony of people? I mean, when they're out, they're out. They're not only not conscious, they're not even alive. Now, how many people, for example, of those you interviewed, are able to describe things that went on that they could not possibly have described otherwise?
Mm. Well, the only one in the video would be Mary, because she was in giving birth, cesarean section, giving birth. And she said that her spirit floated up to the ceiling and went into the other room where her husband was, and she said goodbye to him. That's the only proof, unless you can estimate the time that her husband was in that room.
Did her husband recognize that something had been said to him?
I don't know. We didn't. She didn't talk about that.
No. Mm-hmm.
She didn't talk about that.
Well, there are many other cases where people, in fact, have described things they could not possibly have known otherwise.
Oh, yeah, sure, I know that, yeah. See, I another thing, too, I was, not to make this a religious experience, but I was raised a Catholic, and ever since I was a child, I was taught that when you die, your spirit, your soul goes up to heaven, and you meet St. Peter at the pearly gates,
yep.
and you have a discussion.
Classic.
Yeah, and then when I am an adult, and when I talk about it to other people, people seem to shy away from it. So I don't understand why. I understand why. I get to see their reasons, but why wouldn't you want to not believe in something like that? Why would it not make sense that we don't have spirits, that we don't have souls?
It makes more sense to me, absolutely, that we do. Now, I don't know about the classic St. Peter and all
right.
that.
Right, oh, yeah, sure.
But I think there is definitely another
realm. There's more to it.
Realm, another dimension, another, I don't know.
Sure.
Something out there. Clearly, something occurs,
yeah.
and physical death is not the end.
No, it kind of makes sense to me, too. And being with these people, when I interview them, like I said, I spent some time with them before the actual, when I set up the camera. And I also interviewed them, after I interviewed them separately, I got them together as a group, in an informal group, in one of the Elena's apartment, actually. We sat around, and I had a two cameras set up, and that was great. They were just sat around talking and laughing about their after effects,
uh-huh,
and how people reacted to their experience. But I spent some time with these people, and I still talk to some of them since I've done the video, and I get this feeling that they have this feeling that everything's going to be okay. They have the sense that no matter what happens, crisis in the family, the house burns down, they get into a car accident.
Just doesn't matter.
They lose their job. Everything's going to be okay.
Hmm.
So
I can understand that, because that there is that ultimate thing that they now know is there that we don't.
Right. There's no separation anymore. They know they're going to be okay. No matter what happens on this plane. Of course, God forbid anybody loses a loved one, or especially a child. I mean, of course, they're going to react emotionally. But I think in the long run, and they do talk about that, they do talk about themselves, how they dealt with, Catherine talks about losing her father. She said if she didn't have her own near-death experience, she would have been devastated. So because she was very close to her father, because of her near-death experience, she felt, you know, she could handle it, she said.
Do you have any idea why some people do not experience NDE? They have the same medical condition, no heartbeat, no breathing, blah, blah, blah. And they come back, and it was just black.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
I'm asking you hard questions. I haven't been answering this either.
I don't know, but I had this... I have a... Not a question, a thought. It just came to me a couple of months ago. You know, these people, when they do have this experience, well, in my video, there was only one that really had a choice to stay or to come back. What about these people who do pass on, who do die, and let's say they did have a near-death experience, but they decided to stay, and they didn't come back? We don't know about them.
No, they're gone.
They're gone, yeah, but who knows? Did they have a choice or not to come back? I don't know.
It's a good question. What percentage even get a choice, and why one person or spirit would have a choice and another would not?
Yeah. Yeah.
All of these are questions I guess we cannot answer. One question I can answer is how people can get your video now. If you've got a computer, we've got a link, and you go over to the right up there at the beginning of my webpage, and you can go to Wellspring.
Right.
And there's a catalog, and your book is in that catalog, so they can get it that way.
Right.
But if they don't have a computer, and they want a copy of your videotape,
right,
excuse me, how would they get it?
You could get it from calling 800 number and just ordering it.
All right. What is your 800 number?
Okay, it's 1-800.
Right.
538-5856.
1-800-538-5856.
Right. And it's from Wellspring Media.
Yep. And it's called Round Trip,
right.
The Near-Death Experience.
Right. Right.
Are you going to do more on this, Timothy, do you think?
Well, what I'm going to do is, this is my first work piece, and this is a documentary. I'm not going to do any more documentaries. I've just completed a screenplay for a feature film where the main character has a NDE. I want to reach a wider audience. I'm going to, it's going to be a commercial film with a spiritual spin, spiritual subplot. Yes.
Spiritual, not religious.
Right, not religious. You see, the NDE actually transcends religion, goes beyond religion.
Beyond religion. You mean beyond our mortal concepts of organized religion.
Right, because as they talk on the videotape when they're all together in the group, they say how everybody's one, we're all one and the same. So, you know, that, you know, if you're Buddha or you're Jewish or you're Protestant or Catholic, you're really all one. You know what it is? I think we separate ourselves down here.
Well, that'll make everybody angry.
Yeah.
because they are all the only true path, of course, and there are so many paths.
Right, but they're all, actually there is a common thread if you really study religions, that there is a common thread that goes through all religions, and, you know.
Well, I figure they're all the same paths, religious or not, frankly, to the same end destination.
Right.
That's been my view of it. Well, at any rate, it has been a pleasure having you on the air, Timothy.
Thank you very
and
much.
And I hope a whole bunch of people call and get your videotape, particularly those who would need it.
Yeah.
And maybe even people who don't, and just the curious.
Oh, yeah, definitely for the curious, yeah.
Timothy, thank you.
All right, thank you, Art.
Thank you for being here. And again, I want to urge everybody out there to get... I'm going to give you a little sample when I come back. Obviously, it's a four-page article, and I'm not going to sit here and I'm not going to read the whole thing. But I'm going to give you enough to get you hooked. It's on my website, and I consider it to be a significant discovery. Anyway, that was Timothy O'Reilly with his return trip videotape. The NDE has to do with the soul. I'll tell you more about the soul. Soul Substance when we come back.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from January 27th, 1997. Take you back to the night of January 27th, 1997, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
Top of the morning, everybody. It's great to be here. I've got a lot of stuff that I want to get to you, so we'll get underway in a moment, then we'll go to open lines. All right. This fax just in, Art Bell. This past Super Bowl weekend convinces me that you may be ignoring your hidden talent buried deep in the chambers of your dark subconscious. The fact that you picked Green Bay at the beginning of the season to go all the way attests to your incredible prognosticatory abilities. Why then are you squandering this ability on the nation's number one late night talk show? I recommend that you immediately open up the Art Bell Sports betting line out of Pahrump, Nevada. That, of course, would feature your hot picks from week to week. Then we could listen to you and make money from your incredible visionary talent. P.S. Then I could afford to buy more of the products you offer on your show. That's Cheesehead from KSFO Country. Man, it was a game, wasn't it? It was really good. Reviewing the news such as it is, Simpson trial nears end. Well, it's been doing that for a long time. Jewel to file lawsuit, libel lawsuit. He's been after that for a while now. Lawyer says DuPont was insane when he shot dead Olympic champion wrestler David Schultz. Yeltsin cancels trip. Now, that's interesting. Yeltsin is apparently sick, sick, sick. A lot sicker than the Russians will admit. Waiting in the wings, somebody we probably won't much like. A hardliner. Bill Cosby saying you've still got to laugh has gone back to work. And, of course, Green Bay has welcomed back the predicted, the in fact, champs. But to me, the big news tonight is, and I know radio stations at this hour just joined, so let me tell you, for years and years I've been doing shows on the paranormal and things related. to the paranormal, as I'm sure you know. And I have been in search of, personally and publicly, evidence, among other things, that we have a soul. And for years and years, with Raymond Moody, Danion Brinkley, and others at the very top of the field, there have been rumors of and discussions of, on my program, a medical study that was once done about weight loss at the instant of death. Well, it was more like an urban legend, or a suburban legend, I don't know. But nobody really knew until the other day when I received from a physician in the audience. Thank God for the width and breadth of this audience, because somebody out there always keeps something. Dr. W.E. Fair, physician, simply sent me a short note, said, "Art, here it is, the original article on the weight loss at death you mentioned on Dreamland last Sunday." Sure enough, folks, from American Medicine, complete series, volume 8, published in 1907, an article by Duncan McDougall, M.D. of Haverhill, Massachusetts, entitled "Hypothesis Concerning Soul Substance, Together with Experimental Evidence of the Existence of Such Substance." Now, there's quite a preamble, which I am not going to read. The entire medical study that looks at, I believe, 6 different human subjects who died is there. He also looked at 60 or 70 dogs at the instant of death and found no weight change. That's also in there. But each case history is documented, and I thought I would read. I can't afford to read all 4 pages. That's on the website. I want you to look. Raymond Moody is going to be my guest on Dreamland this coming Sunday. But just let me read you a little bit of page 2. My first subject was a man dying of tuberculosis. It seemed to me best to select a patient dying with a disease that produces great exhaustion, the death occurring with little or no muscular movement, because in such a case, the beam, that's a weight beam, could be kept more perfectly at balance, and any loss occurring readily noted. The patient was under observation for 3 hours and 40 minutes before death, lying on a bed arranged on a light framework built upon very delicately balanced platform beam scales. Beam scales, folks. The patient's comfort was looked after in every way, although he was practically a moribund when placed upon the bed. He lost weight slowly at the rate of 1 ounce per hour due to evaporation of moisture in respiration and evaporation of sweat. During all 3 hours and 40 minutes, I kept the beam end slightly above balance near the upper limiting bar in order to make the test more decisive if it should come. At the end of 3 hours and 40 minutes, he expired, and suddenly coincident with death, the beam end dropped with an audible stroke, hitting against the lower limiting bar and remaining there with no rebound. The loss was ascertained to be 3/4 of an ounce at the precise moment of death. This loss of weight could not be due to evaporation or respiratory moisture and sweat, because that had already been determined to go on, in his case, at the rate of 1/16 of an ounce per minute, whereas this loss was sudden and large, 3/4 of an ounce in a few seconds. The bowels did not move, And if they had, the weight would have remained upon the bed, except for the slow loss by evaporation of moisture, depending, of course, upon the fluidity of the feces. The bladder evacuated 1 or 2 drams of urine. This remained upon the bed and could only have influenced the weight by slow, gradual evaporation, and therefore in no way could account for the sudden loss. There remained but one more channel of loss to explore, the expiration of all but the residual air in the lungs. Getting upon the bed myself, my colleague put the beam at actual balance. Inspiration and expiration of air as forcibly as possible by me had no effect upon the beam. My colleague got upon the bed, and I placed the beam at balance. Forcible respiration, expiration of air on his part had no effect. In this case, we certainly have an inexplicable loss of weight of 3/4 of an ounce. Is it the sole substance? How shall we otherwise explain it? Then he goes into his second patient and so forth and so on with the others. But I wanted to give you a little sense of a little bit of this article. It is quite comprehensive. It was done in 1907. And I've got several questions about it. Number one, I'm very glad to have found it, needless to say. Number two, I'm very glad to be able to share it with you and the world. You can get the entire article, read the entire article, on my website now, www.artbell.com. www.artbell.com. I want to thank Keith and everybody who had anything to do with getting the article quickly typed in and prepared to go up on the website. I particularly would like you to read it before Dr. Moody joins us this week on Dreamland. So, you have that up there. A next item. And I'm going to slaughter the name of the town, and I'm sorry. Military officials have taken possession of a metal sphere that was found in the middle of a South Texas field. The deputy there said Friday night that officials from Randolph Air Force Base in San Antonio confiscated the object, which is about 2.5 feet in diameter, scorched and pitted on one side with what appears to be the remains of a valve. It's really weird, whatever it is. I have no idea. And, of course, since the Air Force came and took it away, we'll now probably never know. But, and I understand the name of the town is Seguin. Is that correct? Seguin, Texas? That's where Walt Andrus is, and Walt Andrus apparently got out to see it. He is the founder, I believe, of MUFON. And somehow we got a photograph of this round space ball, object, whatever you want to call it. So it's up on the website, Spaceball. And there was an AP article. Now, what this is, I have no idea. And as I said, the Air Force quickly came and took it away. So all we've got is the photograph. Go take a look. You tell me. I have no idea. Here's another one. To Art. We would like to pass on to you the occurrence of a bright flash of light, followed by smoke, seen from much of Kansas and parts of southern Nebraska at about 5:45 Central Time, 1:27:95. This occurrence was reported by eyewitnesses and picked up on radar by the National Weather Service.
Ooh.
There were also unofficial reports about debris landing somewhere near Omaha, Nebraska. CBS affiliate KWCH in Wichita has got film footage of smoke plumes after the explosion occurred. The only confirmation that has been made is that it was not caused by aircraft or satellite. We're just curious, and I'm sure you are too. Please let us know if you've got anything on this. Dwayne and Cindy from North Newton, Kansas. So, we've got a space ball coming down in Texas. We don't know what it is. The Air Force has grabbed it. We've got something that has come down in southern Nebraska and Kansas. We have no idea what that is. And we've got a major story up there for you on the apparent existence of something called a soul substance. By all means, please read that article. If you get an opportunity, print it out, share it with other people. It's something that I've been looking for literally for years now, and I'm so happy to have found it. Otherwise, very little news. Sunday on Meet the Press, our new Secretary of State, a woman, Madeleine Albright, and by the way, a woman I consider to be quite competent, did an interview, and I thought she did very well. She's going to have a number of immediate challenges, not the least of which is China. In July, sadly, Hong Kong is going to revert to China, communist China. And when I was in Hong Kong, a lot of people were very nervous and getting ready to get out. A lot of them have. Last week, their nervousness apparently was shown to have cause. China indicated a big crackdown on civil liberties in Hong Kong is coming. Press freedoms, the internet, personal freedoms. It will be the death of a capitalist jewel. Hong Kong is beautiful. I mourn for Hong Kong. What's about to happen? So Madeleine Albright's going to have to deal with that, and they were asking her, well, are you going to demand that China not crack down? Well, how's she going to demand that? You can't demand anything with regard to China. They're going to do what they're going to do, and Hong Kong is going to go back, and how sad it's going to be. What a vibrant, alive, wonderful place Hong Kong is, hustling and bustling, and full of capitalism and happy people. The contrast to that, communist China, which I went up into, with sad, scared people whose eyes barely leave the ground, it really is, as you imagine, it might be awful. And will that now occur to Hong Kong? I fear so. Can Madeleine Albright do anything about it? No. Then there's Cuba. And we've got a lot of listeners up in Canada. So I thought it might be interesting this morning. As you know, the U.S. is not changing its mind with respect to Cuba. We are going to continue to keep it on the persona non grata list of the U.S. No visas given for people to travel. No trade. Nothing to do with the bearded one. Canada, on the other hand, just opened up relations with Cuba. The rest of the world has opened relations with Cuba. And I wonder how the Canadians feel about it, and I wonder how you feel about it. Should we open a relationship with Cuba, or should we continue our hard line? And I wonder what the Canadian listeners think. In other words, your country is opening up a dialogue and trade and tourist trade with Cuba. Do you think the U.S. is, I'm not sure what the right word for our reaction would be. I'll think of one. How do you feel about the way we treat Cuba? Right or wrong? And one other item, Boris Yeltsin, bypass surgery, double pneumonia, elected 7 months ago. He's spent only 2 weeks thus far in office. There is a change a-coming. The parliament there, the Duma, considered impeaching Boris last week. Meanwhile, NATO expansion continues to threaten the hardliners in Russia. And I wonder how confident you are that when that change comes, it's going to be one we are happy about. I suspect exactly the opposite. Anyway, when we come back, open lines, anything you want to talk about, get up to my webpage. Boy, is that stuff interesting.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight, featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from January 27th, 1997. Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight, featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from January 27th, 1997.
I'm already getting faxes on the story. Art, the weight loss at death may not represent the weight of the soul, which may be too empirical to detect in this manner, but rather the weight of the astral body. Wouldn't that be energy too? Or maybe the astral body combined with the other even higher dimensional bodies that many traditions speak of. But wouldn't they be energy too? I'm adding that. These would include the mental body, the emotional body, the causal body, and so on. I would guess that each higher dimensional body would register vanishingly small amounts of weight in the gross physical world as one traversed the increasingly subtle dimensional levels that each successive subtle body type occupies. Boy, I don't know. Look, folks, I'm just a talk show host. I was absolutely elated to finally find this study that had been rumored for years and to find out that it was real. I wonder, why hasn't there been more done since? Maybe there has, but I certainly don't know about it. Would it be just simply too politically incorrect to do something of that sort? I don't know. I just don't have those answers. And one more little note, Art. It is warming up here in South Dakota, finally. The wind chill tonight is only 50 below zero. South Dakota has lost 30,000 head of livestock this winter alone due to the cold and snow. Bad news for the farmers, but it ought to mean cheaper dog and cat food prices. Still shivering in South Dakota, but still listening. So there you have it. And I've got more, and I'll kind of drop it in as we go. A lot of stuff in the paranormal category. Things blasting through the atmosphere, of the atmosphere to Earth in a couple of locations. The death of a satellite, and I've got more on that too. Telstar 401, which was a good, healthy satellite, suddenly stopped. What do you think might cause that? I'll read you a press release on that. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. My name is Dan. I'm calling from Long Beach.
Hi, Dan.
I was wondering with your last guest if there was any similarities and differences between Hindu and Christianity and Buddhism.
Well, he addressed that, and the answer basically was no. In the people he interviewed, they all had roughly the same experience that did not relate to their religion. That's what he said.
I remember at one time Gandhi, who was a hardened Hindu, that noticed that when some of these soldiers who quote-unquote called themselves Christians,
yes,
and that they came at him, and he told them that he liked that what Jesus had said, and he asked them, why don't you people acting like Christians, or acting like more like Christ instead of just going around threatening people like this, or something to that effect?
Well, religions are strange. Organized religions are... I just don't know what to say about it.
Well, I'm kind of stuck on it, too, so, you know, you're not the only one.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Here's another one. USAF Hercules went down in a UFO hot zone at 7:30 p.m. on Friday, November 22nd. U.S. Air Force Reserve CH-130 Hercules crashed 60 miles west of the Northern California coast, killing all but one member of its 11-man crew. The four-engined turboprop plane of the 304th Rescue Squadron was on a routine training mission from its base in Portland, Oregon, to San Diego. The Hercules went down shortly after one turboprop engine mysteriously failed, then a second engine shut down, then the plane suffered a complete electrical failure. What, however, went unreported in the mainstream media was the two-year-old UFO flap that has taken place in that exact area. According to a report of Vanessa Blackburn, during the last year and a half, Humboldt and Del Norte County residents have reported multiple UFO sightings, and some of those reports are from more than 50 people at one time. Now, Telstar 401, missing from orbit. Scientists at AT&T are still scratching their heads, wondering what might have occurred to their multi-million dollar geosynchronous communication satellite, Telstar 401, that disappeared from its Earth orbit early Saturday. No signs, I repeat, no signs of impending problems were detected. All circuits were functioning normally, and suddenly all signals coming from the bird simply stopped. The North American Air Defense Command, located in Colorado Springs, Colorado, did report a large unknown object near the position of Telstar 401 just moments before the satellite quit working. Quote, it looked like a large meteor closing in on 401, said NORAD Commander Major General John Yancey, Jr. However, on the next sweep of the tracking radar, there was nothing there. No meteor, no satellite, no debris. We don't know what happened. Now, there's one for you. A big television communication satellite. Gone. Just gone. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Darren calling from Reno.
Yes, sir.
It is Seguin, Texas.
Seguin, all right.
And I used to be a subscriber to the MUFON magazine. And it was I guess they're based in Seguin, Texas.
Man, you ought to see this thing. Now, there are some people say it came from a tank, some kind of a tank or something.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make sense. It's perfectly round. If you look at it, you will see that it was definitely burned in apparent reentry, not blown from some other location. And then if it was part of some sort of tank with a valve or something, why would the Air Force come and scoop
and
it up?
It up. Yeah.
You betcha.
What kind of a valve?
I don't know. And it's not shown in the only photograph we've got. What I've got is up on the website right now, if you get a chance to go up and look.
Art?
Yes.
I have a host suggestion, not a host, but a guest suggestion for you. I guess Laura Lee is the lady that does the show on Saturdays.
She has a show on the paranormal, very much like mine, yes.
Yeah, for some reason, I was under the impression that Uri Geller was dead.
No.
I didn't know where I got that idea, but I've read some of his books from quite a while ago, actually, and I caught just the very end of the show that she did, and she had him on.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever had Uri on?
Long, long ago, I think I did, but it's a good idea. And I'll consider having...
I think it would be a really good possibility, because that man does a lot of other things. He doesn't just bend spoons. I mean, he was talking a little bit about UFOs also at the end of her show, that he had seen several UFOs and that they play some part in his life story and whatnot.
All right. Well, I appreciate the suggestion, and I will consider having Uri on again. No problem. Yeah, you take a look at that... that ball, and see what you think. It's a good thing we've got a photograph of it, and that somebody got it. I by the way, I don't know who. It was sent by somebody in the audience. Thank you, whoever you are. I think there is some credit given up there on the website. But if they had not, somebody hadn't gotten there with a camera, obviously before the Air Force did, we would have no such photograph, and it would be only a story. Wildcard line, no, international line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Mr. Bell.
Hi there.
This is Dana and Colin from Edmonton, Alberta, in the northern frozen tundra.
Well, welcome.
Anyhow, I have three things I'd like to mention. One, have you heard about an astronomer? He's discovered a new planet. It sounded like it was within the asteroid belt.
No.
Yeah, I just heard that today. I didn't hear. I just heard a little news clip on it, and I thought, isn't that intriguing?
Well, it is.
Richard, listening to Richard Hoagland on the 20th of December.
Yes.
That was very interesting. Anyhow, the other two things is that, referring to Mr. Yeltsin, I don't know how things work in the United States. But let's say Bill Clinton took gravely ill.
Okay.
And was really in a similar situation that Boris Yeltsin was in.
Our vice president would take over.
He'd take over right away.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, doesn't Russia have a vice president as well? I thought they did.
They have in Russia that we don't have, sir, they have a lot of coup attempts, coup d'etat.
Oh, yeah.
And there's every possibility that it would go to a very much hardliner, and that the entire political direction of Russia would suddenly change. And while we are busily, I'll use the word co-opting for NATO, the countries that once were satellite nations of the Soviet Union, there would be great immediate opposition to that, and I think we'd be right back into the Cold War.
I certainly hope not. And here's one thing I've been thinking about. I've thought about this for years.
Well, before you get to that, may I ask you a question? Your country has decided to open relations with Cuba.
Yeah.
And I believe that you Canadians can just go vacationing down to Havana if you want to, right?
This has been the way ever since we've had supreme socialism here as well.
I see. All right, well, then, in that case, I need not ask any more. What else were you going to say?
Anyhow, I think they've had sympathy towards the Cubans because they got to have at least one friend in the world other than Russia. Anyhow, Hong Kong.
Yes.
I've always thought about it. Why don't the people there take a vote and go independent? Now, this would take a lot of cojones on the Western nations to say, look, we're standing behind Hong Kong, China, don't do nothing.
Don't do nothing. Last time we even had a mild little disagreement with them with regard to Taiwan, they were talking about what we ought to be concerned about is a nuclear detonation in L.A. So I would say, thank you very much for the call, I would say at this point, breaching the agreement, and of course mainland China has a solid agreement to have Hong Kong back, to get it back. from the British. And if the West were to suddenly say, sorry, no deal, then I really would think that a nuclear detonation in L.A. and other West Coast cities might be something to genuinely be concerned about. No, I don't think there's going to be any great standing of the West with cojones to tell China to forget it. They're going to get Hong Kong. And there is nothing we can do about it. Nothing Madeleine Albright can do about it. Nothing the U.S. can do about it. I don't even think we can mildly influence what they will do. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm all right. Where are you?
Very good. I'm Bill from Hollywood, Florida.
Yes, sir.
Listen, I've been trying to get a hold of you for weeks. You, as far as the soul goes, if you would actually see somebody being possessed, then I would imagine you would believe there is a soul, because that that possession would be from another body, from somebody else, correct?
Are you on some kind of radio?
No, this phone is a little wacky.
Uh-huh.
Can you hear me okay? Or?
Well, I hear you. It sounds like you're at the bottom of a barrel.
Oh, really?
But
sure, what's wrong with the phone? But
yeah, it's all right. Anyway.
In any case, I'd like to, since you're heard all over the country, I'm somewhat of a spiritualist.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen things that your typical everyday American has not. Let me put it to you that way. And it all has to do a lot with the African culture, which is Yoruba, the Yoruba culture, which is from Nigeria. And I'd like to invite you someday. Off the air, I can give you my phone and number, and we can talk before you even make a date. But I can actually show you so that you may, to all your listeners out there, say, you know, what I've seen is completely out of bound. It's something that you want to talk about paranormal. This is what it really is all about.
All right. Thank you very much. Well, of course, we had Malachi Martin on and others. And I've got another Catholic lay priest who does exorcisms who would like to come on the air. And that is more evidence of the soul. There has to be something to possess, correct? But again, what grabbed me over the years with regard to even the myth surrounding this medical report was the actual physical instantaneous loss of weight at death. Now, don't ask me how a soul can have weight, because I don't have those answers. What I do have is an actual copy of this medical study. I'm telling you, get up on my website, read it, react, send me email, send me a fax. Let me give you my fax number. It's area code 702-727-8499. 702-727-8499. Now, this is old, and there are lots of good questions, like, why has there not been more recent research? Why do we have to go back to 1907 to find something we can lay our hands on regarding real medical research done at the moment of death? Is this kind of research now politically incorrect, out of bounds, scientifically immoral in some way? I don't know. Why could we publish things like this then, but not now? I don't know. Why was there so much interest in it then, and not now? I don't know. I don't have the answers to these questions. What I do have is the article. Thank goodness. Thank you, Dr. Fair. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
How are you, Art? How are you doing?
Fine.
This is John from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, John.
I was looking at the information that I had downloaded and compiled from Brown's report and the HST satellite image that you have of the Hale-Bopping Companion.
Brown's report? What is that? You mean his statement?
No, not the statement. The report that I downloaded, that basic information that he had on that initial program that you had.
Oh, yes. All right. Yes. Uh-huh.
And the light was coming through my door, and I was looking at the picture. And if you haven't done this, this is really neat to do. Look at the picture, the HST picture that you have, which is, I believe, 1110, number 19.
Yes.
Look at it backlit. And as you look at the image, you will see what appears to be like an ET face with the companion being at the, like the tip of the nose. Really interesting.
All right.
Now, I wanted to ask you another question. When you first got this information from Chuck Schramick, he contacted you.
Yes.
Who contacted Dr. Brown?
I'm going to presume Chuck Schramick, or they, in some way, you know, at that point, Chuck Schramick had a website up.
Right.
He's got another one up now, since, but I can only presume, and I don't really know. I guess Chuck contacted Brown, or Brown saw it, or Pruden saw it, or somebody saw it, and that evening he was doing his remote viewing, ostensibly, you'll recall, based on the Schramick photograph. So how they came into contact with each other, I don't know.
Now, I've recorded, this has really excited me, and I've recorded a lot of the tapes
of
your program.
Yes.
And I was just going over earlier the tape from, I think, 12-3, where you had Dr. Lee Chargell on there. Did you get any follow-up from him, because he was supposed to send you the copies of the 17 classified photos that he had?
No.
He never got back to you?
No, I do not have those 17 supposed classified photos. No.
Okay.
No. Look, you ought to know the way I am. When I get something, in minutes, I've got it on the web.
I know you.
So, whatever it is, whatever story, and I thank you very much. I want to continue to follow up. Whether it's a story on the Vatican priest or it's anything else, there's no point in sending me email saying, what is the follow-up to this story? Because the moment I get it, you know me, come what may, I'll put it up there. I'll post it for you, whether you think it's bull or real or whatever. I'll put it up there and let you be the judge. I don't hold back material, except in the case, of course, of Professor Brown, who asked me to hold that material for a reasonable amount of time, which I did. Otherwise, I don't hold back anything. That's not the idea of what we do here. It's to share information with you and allow you to be the judge of its credibility. That part's up to you. And that includes, by the way, this medical study that I've got up there. Gosh, you've got to go see it. You've got to go read it. And then I want your reaction to it. One thing you can't do is ignore it. We'll be right back.
Radio Networks presents Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired January 27, 1997.
Good morning, everybody. Indeed, I am here, and we're into open lines now. I had a guest on in my first hour that related to life after death, NDEs, that sort of thing. But what I've really got that I want you to see, that I really want you to read, is a four-page medical report that I thought was lost or actually never existed at all, but guess what? It does. And I've got it. It was sent to me by a doctor, physician, named W.E. Fair. And he simply said, Art, here it is. The original article on the weight loss at death you mentioned on Dreamland last Sunday. Hypothesis concerning soul substance, together with experimental evidence of the existence of such substance, and we've got it, by a physician named Duncan McDougall, published in 1907. And it documents, I believe, 5 or 6 human cases, and then talks about 70 dogs. And in each case, scientifically, carefully, these bodies were measured with all gases and a discharge accounted for, and they found an absolutely instant weight loss at the moment of death. Read this medical study. Case by case, it explains the science work done, the findings, and you try and tell me, you try and explain to me, and I've got a couple of faxes here that have already tried, what it is, why there hasn't been more study. We'll talk more about that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, yeah, Art.
Yes, hello.
Hi, this is Dorothy from San Antonio.
Oh, hi, Dorothy.
Hi.
You're down near where the whatever in the hell it is.
Yeah.
Came down.
Our Sunday paper has a photograph of it and a little write-up where one of the reporters went out.
Right.
And they describe it as a, let's see, 60-pound pod is of a non-magnetic metal that looks like bronze, is 23 inches in diameter with a weld around the center and screws at opposite sides. It has a small dent possibly caused where it crashed to earth and some slight surface melting that may have resulted from the heat of reentry into the atmosphere.
And so now the Air Force has got it, huh?
Yeah, they have it, but it also says here, Air Force to return UFO to Seguin.
So they may give it back?
I don't know if they've given it back or not, but the gentleman that you were talking about that had the UFO...
Walt Andrus, yes, I've interviewed Walt.
He was saying it's... some personnel at the Air Force said it's not theirs, it belongs to the rancher, ultimately. And so he's hoping that Air Force loses interest and gives it back. But that's the last thing, you know. That's
well, I wouldn't hold my breath for that one.
No.
All right.
We have a real good photograph of it here.
And, yeah, I've got one on the website right now. It's a really weird looking.
Yeah, it's the picture here in the paper. It looks kind of shiny, you know, like they say bronze like. But that's all they had on it, and there's not been a follow-up that I can, you know, have that I've seen in the paper or anything.
Well, I surely do appreciate the input. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
That's San Antonio. And here's some more. Good morning, Art. All three local channels in San Antonio, Texas, ran video stories on this orb, whatever it is, that crashed into Seguin. It was not snatched up by the Air Force, but given to them by the Sheriff's Department. Really? The Air Force has been unable to identify the ball, but it is thought to be a fuel cell from an old satellite. Yeah, right. It has a bolt or two on the side, thus, they believe, man-made. Randolph Air Force Base doesn't want it, and is, they say, going to give it to MUFON, since they expressed an interest in it. That is what was reported tonight on the 10 o'clock local news. He goes on the national news a few days ago, it was stated that scientists have identified a pattern of intensifying weather since the first records began in the early 1900s. This includes worsening hurricanes and such. Well, how about that? CNN ran a story a couple of days ago, showed film footage from our solar-aimed satellite in space. A tracked solar coronal emission was responsible for the Telstar satellite going out, as well as a couple of defense satellites. It is suggested that we will experience a high point in solar disturbances in the year 2000. And this may seriously disrupt our satellites and ground electronics. Well, all right. That conflicts with another official report, or an official report that I've got on Telstar 401, that said that something hit it. Now, as far as they know, it is no longer in orbit. Now, there's a big difference between going dead electronically and something either blasting through kinetic energy or otherwise a satellite right out of orbit. It just doesn't happen. And I'll read you again what I've got on it shortly. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Bell.
Good evening.
Tim in Denver.
Hi, Tim.
Wanted to let you know, I had a nice conversation this afternoon with Jose Escamilla.
Oh, yes.
And he's going to be speaking at our next meeting at the Art Bell Chat Club at Denver.
Well, how about that?
March 1st, he's got 5 hours of new video and lots of new material. And this weekend, Strange Universe did a piece with him here in Denver.
Good.
And all the information about the meeting and what's going on is on the bulletin board on your website, if people would like to check it out.
Well, as you know, we keep people updated on a daily basis.
And we certainly appreciate it here.
All right, Tim. Thank you.
Thank you, Art.
Here's another fax. Art, I suggest listeners read the 1907 article. That's a rare, unique find, and not something you're going to see in the New England Journal of Medicine or the Sunday Supplement section of the New York Times. Daryl in Los Angeles. Yes, I suggest you read it, too. Then go ahead. Try to explain it. And I've got somebody here who has tried to explain it, not with much class, but they've tried to explain it. Let me see if I can rephrase this. It says, attention, attention, attention. Art. The weight loss at death is caused by the release of gaseous substances from the anal orifice, otherwise known as, and he uses the common word. So, does that mean your soul is, in effect, flatulence? Dare you to read this on the air? Houston, Texas. Well, if you'll read the medical report, which I doubt you did, on the website now, you will discern quickly that any weight or gas in or in intaken or outtaken has been already ruled out as a possible source of the weight loss. Read and learn, sir. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
All right?
Yes.
Okay, let me turn my radio off.
Thank you.
Oh, good to talk to you again.
Where are you?
I'm in Hill City, Kansas. This is Bobby.
Okay.
And I've been having some, I'm not a professional psychic, but I've been having some...
What is a professional psychic?
I guess one that gets paid and runs around and... and sends people out little letters and...
I see.
You know...
Somebody with a 900 number.
Yeah.
All right.
But I have been having... I've done this all my life, and it's getting really intense now.
What is?
I'm dreaming of... flooding and really bad freak tornadoes in California.
Well, we're having flooding in California.
Yeah, but continued flooding, and I have a sense that the dams are going to break, and that's going to make the flooding worse.
Well, there already have been, thank you, a number of levee breaks in California. And heaven help us if the storms continue. And with this flow of, present flow of the jet stream, if you look at the southern flow of air, the trouble is going to continue. So dams and levees will break. Sure. There's a weather change going. By the way, if we could find the person, if there is a person or persons, responsible for manipulation of the weather. This is all just sort of hypothetical, okay? But suppose we were to find such a person or persons, what punishment would be appropriate for their inappropriate manipulation of the weather? I meant to ask you that last week. Anybody have any thoughts? What punishment would be appropriate for somebody who is found to have been manipulating the weather? Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, thanks a lot. This is Lonnie in Wichita.
Hello, Lonnie.
Yeah, I've been reading Emerging Viruses.
Yes.
Hoard's book.
Yes.
On page 127, he's got what he calls the polio vaccine theory of AIDS.
Yes.
I found that quite interesting, especially in light that the Center for Disease Control just put out a bulletin, and they're recalling the polio vaccine in the United States. Were you aware of that?
No, I was not.
It happened last week, and they say it's because of mad cow disease, which has been found in the vaccines. And Horowitz says that mad cow disease is a link in the manufacture of AIDS.
Yes, I know. I interviewed. Did you hear the interview with Mr. Horowitz?
Yeah, but it's really getting too scary now.
Well, I appreciate your input, sir. Thank you. The whole thing, of course, is scary. By the way, I told you I would keep you up to date on this, and I will do the best I can. The ratings are in all over the country, and just to give you a little bit of a sense of how well the program is doing in general, I'll go through a few of these. Here is Phoenix, where our program is number one in all categories. I've got 12 plus here, and here we are, number one again in Phoenix. That's 25 to 54. And I'm going to be kind of skipping through these. Here's men, 25 to 54 in Milwaukee. Our affiliate there, WTMJ. Number one, an increase in that category of 225%. Can you imagine that? So you might listen for your area. That's WTMJ in Milwaukee. And let's see, some new ones. A WFTL in Miami, Fort Lauderdale, a 19% increase in that market again. Here's Phoenix again, number one. Let's see, I'm just going through these as I can here. In San Antonio, the mighty WOAI, I've got the 12-plus figures here. And let's see, WOAI, here we go. From ranking number 11 to ranking number 3 in San Antonio with a 58% increase. KEX in Portland, Oregon, across the board, number one, where we have been for many, many surveys. Portland, number one, a 71% increase in adults 25 to 54. Number one, 12 plus as well. Portland, across the board, number one. New Orleans, Louisiana. Let me see. WSMB, our affiliate there, went from ranked number 22 in one book. They went from number 22 to number 6 with an 800% increase, a 20% increase in Memphis with WMC. In San Francisco, we are now rated adults 25 to 54, number 2, just behind KGO, so close that you could barely slip a little piece of paper in. So this will give you an idea. KST in Sacramento, number one, 71% increase. That's adults 25 to 54. Adults 12 plus, also number one, 86% increase. Holy mackerel. So I'm just sort of leafing through these. in St. Louis on KSD, a 79% increase in audience, 79% in this last survey. In Cleveland, a WTAM, the mighty WTAM, moving from ranked number 11, this is prisons 12 plus, to ranked number 3, a 94% increase. In Houston, KTRH, number one, and I'm just sitting here leafing through all of these surveys that have come in. Let me see, WTAM, again, Cleveland, the monster on the lake, used to be 3WE, ranked number 12 originally, or the survey before, now ranked number 3, 12 plus, that's a 225% increase, 225%. Los Angeles, KABC, 12 plus, number 1. San Diego, every category you can name, number 1. And on and on and on. And, you know, I do this when the surveys begin to come in, so I just want to thank the people in those areas. Denver, KHOW, number 1. Number 1 in Denver. My last caller, Tim, I'm sure would be glad to hear that. At any rate, there you have it. I promised I would kind of go through some of those, and there you've got them. Listen, again, please get up to my website and read this article. I want your comments and your thoughts on this article. A weight loss at death. Due to what? Due to what? What other possible explanation, particularly after you read the article, if you really do, could there be other than a soul substance? Now, I'm willing to listen to conjecture about how a soul, a spirit, could have weight. For I, too, do not understand that. All I know is this article demands an explanation. And if you are a skeptic, if you are a person of science, you're going to want to read this and try and answer what it could possibly be. I certainly can't answer it, but I sure am fascinated by it. And as the faxer said, it is a rare find indeed. It's all at www.artbell.com, and we'll be right back. Open lines all night long.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from January 27th, 1997. Take you back to the night of January 27th, 1997, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell, and people thanking me for some of the ratings information. Number one, of course, in Seattle as well. I really don't have time to go through all of them, but I will continue to do so as the market sizes come out and we get the information. And how can you account for it? I think easily. I don't think it's magic. I think that people today are yearning for something a little different. They are becoming more spiritual, and they want to understand things that previously they have just dismissed with a smirk or a laugh. The unusual. Sometimes the bizarre. That and the fact that everybody else in talk radio is doing politics only.
I love Mr. Clinton. I hate Mr. Clinton.
You know, you hear it all up and down the dial. It's boring after a while. There are other things to explore in life. And so there's no magic about it. We simply explore them here. And people like it. To the consternation, much to the consternation of a lot of other talk show hosts, but who cares? Who cares? Dear Art, love your show. Please give a plug to WROK, the Mighty Rock, in Rockford, Illinois. Second largest city in Illinois, that's true. Sign Dave. Dave, there you go. WROK, plug, plug, plug. We will eventually, the way the surveys come out according to market size. So we'll certainly get to that if we haven't already. And any of you radio stations out there that want to send it in, let us know how we did. You're welcome to fax it, and we'll give your station a plug. Hey, Art, really enjoy the show. I tape your show using my VCR whenever I can't listen live. Great idea. Thanks for having it on the webpage. You should tell people about this technique. I have for years. You can do it. Just get a little cord from Radio Shack or Bob Crane. Go from your radio into the VCR, and you can tape on the VCR. Of course, you can't take it anywhere. It's fixed. About the weight loss at death. Has it been done in recent times using modern scientific techniques? Not that I know of. That's one of the things that makes this study so valuable. As far as I know, it hasn't. Now, maybe I'll see something that I haven't seen before, but they were using a very, very a good, controlled environment. If you read this medical story, you will see that. And the results would be, it seems to me, as valid today as they were then. I think, he goes on, it is presently unknown quantum material associated with a life force which is released at the time of death. Keep looking up John in Burlington, Vermont. Well, John, that's just another way, what did you call it? Quantum material associated with the life force? Otherwise known as the soul, right? Hi, Art. Regarding the soul substance article, I remember seeing a report, some documentary or something on TV years ago about this very subject. In this report, they had actually claimed to photograph an image of energy, something, leaving the body at the exact time of death and the loss of weight. They showed the photos on TV. The photos showed a blur of light of energy rising from the body. I don't remember where I saw it. Perhaps somebody else in the audience remembers seeing it or knows more about it. Exceptional program as usual, signed Dan. And then, of course, this. Art, I just read the article on your website. One question dominates my thoughts. Does this mean Dr. Kevorkian can advertise himself as a weight loss specialist now? Scott in Cleveland, listening to WTAM. Oh, Scott. Such a shallow remark for such a serious article. It is an article that demands attention and consideration, and I'll take that the way it was given, Scott. Light humor. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. How you doing?
Okay. Turn your radio off.
1 second. Okay. I was just wondering, I'm one of the unfortunate ones who does not either have a fax machine or a computer as of yet.
Uh-huh.
And I would like a copy of that article about the weight loss at death.
Well, fortunately for you, we plan to publish it in the newsletter.
Okay, and it'll be in next month's newsletter then?
I don't know what their deadlines are. You know, newsletters and such publish ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
So where they are, I can't promise it'll be in next month, but that's a good guess.
Okay, and by the way, this is Ken in Yakima, Washington.
Yes, Ken.
I love your show. It's better than watching TV.
The ultimate compliment. All right, my friend, thank you. I think it will be, if you want the newsletter, Art Bell After Dark, you can get it by calling 1-800-917-4278. And, you know, that's fact. things that are published in the newsletter are things that come generally from the web page. And the reason for that is because the moment I get them, they go up on the web. The publication obviously has a little bit of lag time, but of course then you get background you don't get otherwise. So to get the newsletter, it's 1-800-917-4278. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah. I just wanted to bring up a question there on the, you were talking about earlier Madeleine Albright and, you know, coming up with China and all. I just wanted to bring up there, I've read several articles on that, and I don't think the United States would be in any position to start anything with China because...
We're not.
Yeah, because I was watching these things and all and reading these things, and they put out these, like the CIA, Department of Defense and all, they run these computer programs where they make up these op-lands, you know, contingencies for war. And in every one of them, China has always come out on top, whether it's through CIA or Department of Defense or anything and that. And I think the government's smart enough not to start anything with them there because, you know, the military downsizing and all, we're too small for anything like that.
Well, look, if it came to all-out nuclear war,
right?
We could destroy China. No question
yeah,
about it. We could utterly destroy China. But the fact of the matter is we have no business pushing them around regard to Hong Kong. Taiwan may be a slightly different case, but the contract with regard to Hong Kong is sadly a good one.
The Chinese do have a large nuclear arsenal, though, also.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, we huffed and puffed, thank you, about Taiwan. And they said what you ought to be worried about is a nuclear detonation in Los Angeles. And my guess is they were not kidding. So, no, we can't pressure them with regard to Hong Kong. Subtle pressure, perhaps. Asking, requesting, wishing for, yes. But demanding, no. But it's sad. I'll tell you, it's really sad. And I wonder what the people in Hong Kong are feeling right now. Scared, I suspect. They were scared when I was there. But now it's getting really close. And the Chinese are huffing and puffing, and they're basically saying, goodbye human rights. And that's really going to change Hong Kong. What a vibrant, beautiful city that is. What a shame. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Well, hello, Art. Pleasure to speak with you.
And to you, sir. Where are you?
I'm Steve in Minneapolis.
All right.
Cold Minneapolis for 14 below right now.
Mm-hmm.
Say, Art, about a month ago you had Richard Hoagland on. I think right before the end of the show he mentioned that there was something, a building or something, on one of the moons of Jupiter. Inside the ice?
Yes.
Did you ever hear any more about that or get a picture?
Well, I know I have not yet looked at the photographs on Richard's website, but you're welcome to go take a look.
Okay. One more thing. Have you ever interviewed James Olberg or plan on to?
Never heard of him.
James Olberg?
Who is he?
Well, he wrote about NASA. He used to work for NASA, and he wrote about the Soviet Union space program. You wrote some good books about that. You ever heard of James Olberg?
No, I'm sorry, I haven't.
Really? Okay.
Really. But I'll look into it.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you. There's so much in the world out there. Actually, it seems like I've heard the name, but I've not read anything by him. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
KTMS, Redding, California.
Hi there.
Hi. You know Einstein's a very famous equation?
Yes.
That's what happens when the soul leaves the body.
You're going to have to speak up.
I said that's what happens when the soul leaves the body.
It is, eh?
Mm-hmm. We just don't know what mechanism triggers it.
Death.
Well, yeah, the inability for the body to function anymore. Does that automatically signal to our soul what to do?
I would suspect so, if there is an enduring energy. After the electrical activity stops in the body, then yes.
The soul is a type of enduring energy, and we when we come, you know, like, remember when you had on the show, you had the people who remembered before birth?
Yes.
Well, before birth, we're energy. And when we enter into our mother and into that, and into matter, we create ourselves. We make, when the energy hits the matter, it starts to split and stuff. And so at death, it goes back to the energy that it started to be.
Well, how do you explain a weight change?
Because it gained mass while it was in the body.
It gains mass while it's in the body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's as possible as anything else,
I suppose.
Hey,
you know what?
Mass equals weight.
Well, energy gets converted into matter, right?
Yes.
In the equation?
Yes.
And vice versa?
Uh-huh.
That's just all that's going on. Einstein was so far beyond his time that many people don't even understand what he's trying to say. He was trying to talk about God before that other guy did the physics equation to say that he found God.
So you're saying, let's be straight, that mass, that is your soul, at the moment of death, becomes, converts.
Mm-hmm. Something signals it to convert back. I want to tell you about an Art Bell dream I had, because you know everybody dreams about you.
Go ahead.
I know, but you were talking about dreams the other night, and I just couldn't stand it.
All right.
Well, you know how you have the redial buttons on your phone?
Mm-hmm.
People have, I have a whole bunch.
Well,
yes. You're number one on my phone, honey. But my mom is number two.
Yes.
And so I was going to call my mom.
Yes.
And I pressed your button on accident.
Yes.
And Ramona answered. And so she was talking to me. And then I talked to you, and I can't remember what you said. And I said, well, okay, I'm sorry I dialed your number. Okay, goodbye. And our phone wouldn't hang up. I mean, I hung up the phone, I went shopping, I bought a new pair of shoes, I came back, and you picked up the phone. Still there. And you know what you said to me? Danielle, I don't appreciate this one bit. You're doing it on purpose. That's what you said to me.
And it was all a dream.
Yes! You were on my phone forever. We were both like getting really mad. I'm like, get off my phone.
Hey, Danielle.
What? Get off my phone.
I remember when that happened. What are you talking about, dream?
Really?
Yeah.
When did it happen?
Let's see, it was,
Or is this information that you're not allowed to indulge?
No, I'm telling you about it right now.
Okay.
I mean, Ramona's in the other room. She remembers it.
Really?
Yeah.
When did it happen?
About a week ago.
And I wouldn't get off the phone, huh?
Right.
I'm sorry. I really apologize. It's really kind of rude. But why did you yell at me like that?
Danielle.
What?
I'm just kidding.
I know that.
I gotta go. You can't mess with that girl, can you? I thought I could put her in a catatonic state, but she just went right along with it. Just doesn't work, that's our Danielle. West of the Rockies, you're on the air, hello.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. Is Art Bell?
Yes.
Okay, well, what do I do?
Well, I don't know, you called me.
Oh, I did? Okay.
Well, what you do is you turn your radio off first.
Oh, turn your radio off.
Yes.
Okay.
We'll take it step by step here. Talk Radio 101, when you call, do not say, what do I do now? Immediately turn off your radio. That is number one. Number two is...
Hello?
Tell us where you're calling from.
Okay, well, I've been trying to contact you, and...
Number two is tell us where you're calling from.
Okay, I'm calling from Hawaii, Honolulu.
Very good.
And my name is Sam.
Yes, Sam.
Before you were talking about, a while back, about Egypt.
Yes.
And I don't know what the subject is now,
Are you not, you've been listening to the show, you had to go turn off your radio, so you should know what the subject is.
I just turned it on right now, I just came back from work.
I see. So what about Egypt?
Well, when you were talking about it, I was so
fascinated?
Yeah, and captured by it that I just went into a bookstore and... Borders bookstore, and I went in there, and I just went through the New Age section. This book's supposed to not be in that section. It's a science fiction book, and it says Akhenaten, it's supposed to be Akhenaten, you know, the extraterrestrial king, the Egyptian king.
Yes.
And it's by Daniel Blair Stewart.
Yes.
And it's so fascinating. I finished the whole book, and I don't know if you read it or if you...
No, I have not read it, but I will tell you this. I'm going to Egypt. As a matter of fact, with a lot of you, I think there are, so you might know, presently about 560 people booked to go to Egypt with us. When I say us, I mean there's going to be a lot of interesting people going along. My wife, of course, will be there. The Cranes will be there, Bob and Sue Crane. The president of my network will be there. There will be a whole bunch of interesting people there. And we're going to Egypt and many other places, but we're going to Giza, the pyramid, the Sphinx. All my life, I have wanted to do that. I am really looking forward to it. And by the way, there is a waiting list. If you we're going October 1st. If you want to get on the waiting list, you're welcome to, but we're full. Those getting on the waiting list early have a pretty good chance of getting in. But it is a waiting list. The number is 1-800-848-7120. That's 1-800-848-7120. And I recommend you get on the waiting list very early. And then, inevitably, you know, some people will not be able to go. Something will happen, and there will be a slot available. They will fill those as they can. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. Let's see. Tomorrow night on Strange Universe, they will be focusing on some of Jupiter's moons and about possible life, and they pointed out something. And, I saw what's on Mr. Hoagland's webpage, and it looks pretty interesting.
All right, what do you see?
It looks like, it's an image of something under the ice, but what it is hard to tell because it is under ice. And he says there's windows to it, etc. But it does look interesting, and he compares it with the ruin of a cathedral on Earth after World War II.
Right.
And let's see, what else something else you were bringing up?
Have you read the article I keep touting?
No, I haven't done that yet.
All right, I recommend you do it.
But bringing up that, there was something I read about some government documents. I believe it might be Robert O. Dean who talks about his work with the government or something. But there were supposedly some files uncovered concerning UFOs, etc., and how they've, in the documents, said something about humans being containers.
Oh, that was John Lear. Thank you. That was John Lear. I interviewed John Lear. Vessels. For what? Maybe for what they measured in 1907. Question is, why haven't there been more medical studies? Why didn't this rather thorough medical study, though a brief or small as compared to what you might do today, why hasn't there been a follow-up? I want a follow-up. How about you? You can read that article now. It is a long-lost article, but it's as real as can be. At www.artbell.com. I'm telling you, get up there and read it. By the way, it hasn't happened, about a year, a little over a year since my mom has been here. And she's coming out to visit. She'll be here Wednesday. And it may well be that on Friday, I will do as I did last time, and I'll put her on the air, expecting the worst, not from her, but questions from the audience. The audience seemed to really enjoy it last time, and she really is a very articulate. And she's coming to visit. She'll be here with me for a period of time, a couple of weeks, perhaps. And so I thought, toward the end of the week, maybe around Friday, if I can talk her into it, we'll get her on the air. The ex-Marine DI, that's drill instructor, my mom. So that'll be fun. We've got guests lined up between now and the end of the week, and it's going to be a fascinating week indeed. Tomorrow night, Well, you remember the drummer from Inagata De Vida tomorrow night, his sister and his father. He's missing. Wait till you hear the story. That's tomorrow night.
Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from January 27th, 1997.
Once again, here I am, and the reaction is beginning to come in. I will share some of it with you. This amazing article, this medical study on weight loss at the instant of death. Do you believe it? I suggest you go read. Always got to pause, a little reverence for this kind of piano playing. In some other incarnation, I think I would have played piano about like that. Dear Art, I just finished the report on the webpage. I can't believe it has gone unnoticed until present date. I guess we have you and the Art Bell listeners to thank. Personally, I don't know what to think. I'm still skeptical, but now tend to sway toward a belief in the soul. It sure is interesting, but very touchy. Still, and probably always will be, Jake here in Nevada. Or this, Art. It occurs to me that one thing a living body has that a dead one doesn't is electrical activity in the nervous system. Is it just possible that the electromagnetism produced by nervous impulses moving through the highly conductive human body could produce a 0.75 ounce pull against the Earth's magnetic field? Oh, interesting. The nervous system wouldn't die all at once, which would explain why the weight increased slightly over the course of a few minutes, as in the article. Also, the dogs used in the experiment were drugged, which might explain why they did not show the same effect, since their nervous system activity would be significantly lowered by the drugs. Well, I don't know about that, and I don't know about your first contention. Interesting, but that would indicate that we are producing 0.75 ounce pull against the Earth's magnetic field. We don't even properly understand magnetism. Art, very interesting article on the webpage, Weight Loss, Soul, Substance. I also recall some TV show showing the light and weight loss. Don't remember the name, though. If newer experiments were to take place, it would be interesting to test for a loss of mass as well as weight. That's Bob in Moxie, Washington, wherever that is, M-O-X-E-E, Washington, listening to KCHT. Here is some email. Art, I feel the experiment was interesting, but I stopped reading the report when I got to the part of the animals being used for this unusual experiment. I believe that finding the soul has weight is valid, but I'm an animal lover, and I can't justify the needless taking of these 15 dogs' lives as a valid part of that experiment. And I don't think there were any more follow-ups. Because of the animal lovers among us who would not, could not condone this practice. That is Charlotte. That may well be the case. Maybe that's why there have been no other follow-ups. But that does not explain why there could not be continuing human experimentation, particularly if there is a volunteer. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Yes.
Yeah, I actually just dialed the number. I mean, they got through.
Well, good. Where are you, sir?
This is Ryan in Denver?
Yes, Ryan.
Yes, I'm a cab driver here. You're pretty much the only thing on during the night that's fresh to listen to after being in a car 70 hours a week.
Well, Ryan, we're not the only thing on, to be sure, in Denver, but I'll tell you what we are. We're the number one thing.
Yes, you are.
A little brag. Anyway, what's going on?
I read the article earlier on. I stopped in to check my email and look at your page. And I was thinking along the same lines as the last message you read, that it's some sort of a magnetic pull in the body from the electric forces in your body.
Well, it might be, but that too would be a gigantic story if it was true, because I don't think any such thing has ever been documented or proven that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
So it's a theory, but I guess what I'm complaining about is that in the article they did, I think, adequately document scientifically the weight loss. Do you agree?
Yeah, they certainly established that.
And so it's since 1907, something as important as that, we should know more.
Well, we certainly should.
And this article has been lost. I mean, it's like one of the great lost things to mankind. I've been talking about the paranormal for years, and this has been rumored about, but suddenly here it is. So, it's as good a theory as any, but that's all it is right now, is a theory, and I want to know exactly what it is. It's killing me.
Yeah, what type of test would they have to do? I mean, they don't understand that we had magnetism at all. I don't know.
The only difference...
I'm driving right now, so I'm trying to...
I understand. All right, my friend. Thank you very much for the call. Look, the only difference between 1907 with regard to the... documentation of the weight loss and today would be digital scales that are available today. The documentation was quite good then, and there should have been, by now, all kinds of follow-up. Or are we afraid to follow up on this kind of thing? Are we afraid to know what the truth might be? Read the article. I'm telling you, it's on my website now. Glad to share it with you. www.artbell.com. www.artbell.com. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
This is in Oklahoma City.
Yes.
I've known about those studies for a long time. I thought they were commonly known. Weren't they conducted to decide whether or not animals had a soul?
No, ma'am. They were conducted to find out whether humans had a soul.
Well, I know, but...
Animals were used as a control. And I've been investigating the paranormal for many, many years, and I've heard rumors about these studies, but I've never seen one. Now, if you have another source, I'd like to hear it.
Well, didn't the Catholic Church, conduct these tests?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Well, I heard it through the Catholic Church.
Where is it written, do you know?
No, it's been so long ago that...
So, in other words, somebody told you about it. Uh-huh. Okay, well, you see, that's the way I always had it. Well, I've heard that there was some experiment, or I've heard a rumor that there was a weight loss at death, but nobody ever really knew, like this lady. I mean, come on, you say, well, I'd heard that the Catholic Church did this or that. But I've never seen an actual medical study until now. And if any of you have, pass it on, and you know we'll get it up there for everybody to see. But this is the first one I've ever laid my hands on. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you today, Art?
Okay, sir.
I'm calling from Phoenix. My name's Alan.
Hello, Alan.
And we were talking earlier about China and what's
correct.
Going on. What is it, the end of this year, China gets Hong Kong?
July, sir.
Oh, it's that soon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was going to point out that not only have they committed their atrocities against their own people, but they also took over the country of Tibet.
Mm-hmm.
They've murdered over a million people since they occupied that country in 1950.
Mm-hmm.
And our dear president, when he was running for office, he said that he criticized current President Bush at the time, saying that he should have answered the human rights violations of Tiananmen Square. But when he himself became president, at first saying, China, if after 1 year you don't improve your human rights, we're going to relieve you of your most favored nation trading status.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, after the year had expired, even though the human rights violations in fact had worsened, he claimed, well, they've improved good enough, and he's not only delinked them, allowing basically China to do what he wants, but he's turned a blind eye. Well, so what I was going to say is, as far as you and I and the audience could do, and what I attempt to do in my own life, is examine products that you buy. Because all cheap electronics that people come across that seem too good to be true, and a lot of the cheap toys
mm-hmm.
have that wonderful label that say made in China.
Yes.
So I would encourage everyone in the audience to boycott products made there, because products put together by political prisoners and
it's
children
gonna,
don't
sir,
tend
sir,
to be of the highest quality anyway.
Sir?
Yes.
It's not going to work. If it is a good product at a cheap price, no matter what you say that sounds morally upright, trust me, people will pay no attention whatsoever. They will buy a good product at a good price when they find it, and I don't blame them. It's just like when the Japanese began building better cars than we were. People appealed, buy American, no matter what. Nobody ever does that, and no matter how you appeal morally, it doesn't matter. People are going to go out and buy the best they can find, and if we want to be number one, either we produce the best you can find at the best price, or people are not going to salute the flag and buy American, trust me.
Well, it's not just a case of buying American, but...
not buying China.
Well, unless we kind of isolate them economically... That would be the thing that will have the impact, and unfortunately, our current government has no moxie to do so.
We can't. We also don't have the ability. You overestimate our ability, sir. We cannot isolate them economically. China is an economic monster. That's why you hear the double talk out of Washington. On the one hand, you hear them constantly saying, oh, gee, look what they did in Tiananmen. We should isolate them for that. The fact of the matter is, we can't, and if we try, they will bury us alive with trade in Asia and Europe and the rest of the world. Trust me, if you had seen, as I saw, what's going on economically in China, you wouldn't even bother saying something like that. And that's the reality that's hit Washington. They wish it could be. They wish they could dictate human rights and all the rest of it, but they can't, and they know it.
But... I would emphasize, though, do examine the quality of the products that you buy from China.
Absolutely.
They're far inferior from what you will pay if you pay $20 more for something made somewhere else in Asia.
You're correct about that right now.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for the call. I mean, you remember when Japanese products were laughed at? Junk. Japanese junk, they called it. Do you remember that? Well, nobody's laughing anymore. And Japanese junk turned into the best quality product you could find. And that's the process that is going to occur with China. You've got to trust me on this. I saw it happening. All right. I've got, once again here, from the J. Allen Hynek Center for UFO Studies, a... statement on Telstar 401 missing from orbit. Let me read this to you. Scientists at AT&T are still scratching their heads, wondering what might have happened to their multi-million dollar geosynchronous communication satellite, Telstar 401, that disappeared from its Earth orbit Saturday. That's important. Disappeared from its Earth orbit. No signs of impending problems were detected in all circuits functioning normally when suddenly all signals coming from the bird stopped. The North American Air Defense Command, located in Colorado Springs, Colorado, did report a large unknown object near the position of Telstar 401 just moments before the satellite, quote, quit working. The Major General John Yancey there said it looked like a large meteor closing in on 401. However, on the next sweep of the tracking radar, there was nothing there. No meteor, no satellite, no debris, and we don't know what happened, but if the two bodies had collided, we would expect to find some debris left behind. That, folks, is from NORAD. And that, I'm sure, is something you did not hear in the mass media, and I expect you will not. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Good morning, Art.
Hello.
This is Mark from San Jose.
Hi, Mark.
Hi. I'm calling about conversations with Father Malachi.
Yes, sir.
Okay, my brother-in-law moved into a house in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And right from the start, he saw images of a Confederate soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And next, his wife saw them and wanted to cleanse the house, and she started hanging crucifixes up. And she just went crazy, started stomping around the house, and mucus was flowing out of her nose, and she was screaming at her husband, and they had to put her in an institution and put her on drugs, but she was released the next week, and it started again. So I was wondering if maybe there was entities in the house that need to be cleansed, or if she's just going off the deep end.
Well, I'm in a very poor position to answer that, obviously.
Yeah, I was wondering how I, with Father Malachi...
Contact a priest, that's how you do it. If Father Malachi were here, he would tell you, contact a priest. And if you don't find one that's cooperative, contact another one until you find one that is.
Yeah, because I'm under the understanding that, you know, the priest won't...
Some won't.
Some exorcism.
Well, it depends. They will investigate. Most will at least investigate. And you've got to go shopping, literally, and find a priest that will look into it.
Okay, you were talking about Catholic priests?
Yes.
Okay.
All right? That's all I can offer.
Okay.
Thank you. Sorry. I'm not the Bruce Williams of the paranormal world. You know, get a lawyer. I don't have those answers, but that is what Father Malachi would have said. Find a priest, at least, who will investigate. Not all will. Most, though, take it seriously and at least will look into it. So that is one area to look for some help in. It's tough, though. And I have wondered for many years how many people in mental institutions across this country, throughout the world, actually have had their soul substance invaded by something that ought not be there, if you follow me.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from January 27th, 1997. Frontier Radio Networks presents Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired January 27th, 1997.
Top of the morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell. Great to be here. Whatever you want to talk about is fair game. We've got a lot on the table. Whatever else you do, you get up tonight or tomorrow at the very latest and read this medical report. It's eminently readable. It's not too technical for the average person. On my webpage about weight loss at the instant of death, it is a great found article that I was so very thankful to get, and I want you to take a look at it. It is amazing. And then if you want to send me feedback by email or some other means, you're certainly welcome to do it. So we've had quite a bit of discussion about that, as you might imagine, and some other things as well. Back to it we go. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, let me turn my radio down.
Off, please, all the way off.
Yeah, it is off.
There you go.
Yeah, this is Don in Northern California.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was just, you know, this business about the weight loss.
Yes, sir.
At death, I was thinking it's an obtuse but elegant proof of Einsteinian physics. Energy equals MC squared.
Well, that's what somebody else said. That's what Donnell said.
Yeah. So that was it, Art.
All right. Unfortunately, there is no proof of that. And I don't know how you would get it. I don't know how you would proceed with a newer test that would confirm that fact. But, boy, I'm telling you, this is one fascinating article. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Art, and fellow Earth travelers around the world.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to point out, my name is Pat in Burbank.
Yes, Pat.
Yes, I was thinking about yeah, that nervousness again. The remote viewer, if he had the ability to go to a particular person who was being perfectly weighed and then had somebody remote view to this, to a person, and measure the weight as he tried to possess or enter into his body.
Much easier experiment with regard to remote viewers. If remote viewing is essentially out-of-body travel, that essence of the soul or whatever,
right,
is traveling somewhere, actually not in the body, then why not simply measure the remote viewer while remote viewing?
I believe that we're onto something there, that we can see it through experiments, a positive increase in weight and a negative increase in weight.
And then if you want to try and validate remote viewing beyond that, yes, you could try and remote view the target if it were a person. That'd be a little harder, but you could do that.
Well, they are able to get to rooms where they show symbols and stuff, and then they report back what symbol they saw.
That's correct.
And I would imagine it wouldn't be too much harder to move to the left a little bit and enter into a body.
Well, that'd be a little more complicated. But I thank you for the thought. My thinking was, why not simply weigh the remote viewer while the session is in progress? And if, in fact, that which we believe to be the soul leaves the body, well, east of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Tim Clarksville, Arkansas.
Hi, Tim.
How you doing?
All right.
Boy, my fingers are tired from trying to dial in.
Well, here you are.
referencing the remote viewing that you were just talking about.
Yes.
A little bit ago.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying that if a body does travel out of its, or if a
soul
travels outside of its body,
yes,
you could be able to weigh it.
Yes.
Well, perhaps maybe the breath, you know, the breathing and so forth like that, wouldn't that have an effect on a person's weight?
No.
Whenever they're dying?
No. No, if you read this medical study, which I hope you will,
mm-hmm,
that it addresses that question.
Okay. I did look at the webpage. I didn't get to read all the way through it before I got to work, so I guess I will need to read a little further
yes,
into it.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Yeah, you've got to read the article. You can't just peruse it. But it addresses the question of taking in and expiring air. And they very carefully measured all of that. No, read the article. Read the article. I'm telling you, get up to my website, get my a newsletter, whatever it takes, to be able to read that article. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes. My name is Ken. I'm in California.
Hi, Ken.
Okay. From what I heard years ago on the article that you have up on your webpage, is that when the person died, they lost a specific amount of weight.
That's correct.
I was told that this specific amount of weight is on a par or fairly equal to a mustard seed, which was...
No, it's 3/4 of an ounce, sir.
3/4 of an ounce?
Yes, sir.
Hmm.
When you read the article, it'll be apparent.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Take care. You see people coming up with things that don't relate to this specific exact medical study. This is not conjecture in this article. This is, an actual study. I mean, read it. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, let me get the radio here.
All right.
This is Lowell in Seattle.
Yes.
Wow, I think that is a wonderful idea. Ways of remote viewer. That is interesting.
It would be. I mean, if the problem is, though, that we don't exactly know what mechanism is occurring when people are remote viewing. In other words, is their soul fully, really, leaving their body, or is it a way of simply projecting some energy from it? And if so, you might not detect a weight loss.
Yeah, we don't know on that. But anyway, the main reason I called in was I sent you an email a couple of weeks back about Hale-Bopp.
Yes, sir.
And I think it would be wonderful to be able to see and watch Hale-Bopp live on the web. And, for amateur astronomers around the world who have got good quality telescopes and, tied into the computers.
No question about it.
Website.
No question about it. Talk about a good use of a quick cam, huh?
Boy, it sure would be.
And, it sure would be.
Yeah, Chuck Ceramic said that, the viewing time is pretty short, like a half hour. So you'd have to have a lot of different ones.
Well, that is only at present. The viewing time is going to increase. The degree above the horizon is going to increase as we head toward April.
Uh-huh.
So, it's going to get better and better.
Well, I hope some amateur astronomers will do that, because I'd sure love to watch it.
So do I. It's a hell of an idea. Thank you. Very, very, very good idea. We have this quick cam set up now. God, computers are wonderful, aren't they? And, yes indeed, some amateur astronomer out there, who's also computer-wise, could put together something on the web that would be a real knockout, and we'll get a link to it like that. So you could sit out there and watch Hale-Bopp. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
I'm going to turn the radio down.
Turn it off, please.
Oh, okay. That'll even work better. Thanks.
I can barely hear you.
Okay. My name's Judy, and the man who called in about the CDC, and they've had a recall on the polio vaccine.
That's what he said, yes.
I'm concerned. My daughter just got her polio on Friday.
Uh-huh.
She's only 4 months old. Did he say what book that came out of? And
well, not that news, no.
No, my daughter's been sick ever since she got it.
Oh.
That's why I'm concerned. And
well, there's a big controversy now about vaccinations.
Yeah, I guess. I'm just really concerned, and I taped it, because I've been taping your shows. I've become a big fan of yours since my daughter was born, because I'm usually up all night.
I see.
And so...
well, it was Dr. Horowitz. He was referring to Dr. Horowitz, who was a guest.
Uh-huh.
But I think the news on the CDC was later than that book, so he was referring to something he had heard.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't specify where he heard it.
Or what date or anything.
Well, you've got the tape.
Right.
You know as much as I do.
Okay. I was just trying to figure out if it was from that interview of Dr. Horowitz.
No, I don't believe so. I think it's later news than that. That was my impression from the call. But, I mean, listen back to your tape, see what you think.
All righty. We'll certainly do that. And I love you, and say hi to Ramona.
I will. Thank you. I sure will. And by the way, I was wrong about something earlier. I'm not going to have the sister of the drummer to the song In a Gotta DeVita, which is the way I remember Iron Butterfly, on tomorrow night, or tonight, if you will. Actually, tomorrow night was correct. Tonight, I'm going to have Scott Portzline. Portzline, I guess it is. We'll find out tonight. Well, he's got some incredible things to say about 3 Mile Island. He does not think it was an accident. He's testified in front of the Senate, the NRC, on matters nuclear, and he will be here tomorrow night talking to you. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes, good morning. Good
morning.
I'm Rick from Hicksville, Long Island.
Yes, sir.
That Levitron, the supercharger, I found out.
It's the perpetuator.
The perpetuator, yes.
Yep.
I figured out what that is.
What?
It's a combination of that thing that came out a few years ago with the spinning top that was, you spin it on this like little beveled round, 1 inch high by 3 inches, long, and you spin it, and it would keep going around and around and around. And it had a little 9-volt battery underneath with a little like a brushless electric motor, and it would spin forever. And when you combine that with the Levitron, you end up with a top that not only do you spin and does it keep on going, but it's also being told to spin underneath and also being pushed up high.
I don't know. I think it's a magnetic pulsing that they're doing, but I'm not sure about that.
Same kind of thing, like a brushless motor. It keeps it turning like that top thing that you buy in all those...
trick, though, with the Levitron is it's so delicately balanced in that magnetic field.
Right.
Then how do you apply any force to it, magnetic or otherwise, without disturbing that balance?
If you have like a vortex of right in the center of it that turns, you're not pushing it to either side. You're actually just turning it because of the frictionless situation.
That would require a very narrow bandwidth pulse, wouldn't it?
I guess that's probably why it costs whatever it does. And that's great. I mean, it's a wonderful combination of two items to go up
high.
It
is just a plain old amazing thing. Even a Levitron as it presently is configured. But imagine it with that perpetuator.
You know what's great about your show, Art?
What?
As opposed to television, I can go and repair everything in the house. I can walk around. I'm not tied to my chair. I can clean things up and enjoy a tremendous program at the same time.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
And I do care a lot about you, and I want you to know that the first night that I ever spoke to you was, I mean, not spoke to you, but listened to you,
yes, sir,
was while I was installing a brand new AM/FM stereo in my car, Thanksgiving night. And I'm going around putting in the stations, and I'm going, hey, wait a minute, this guy's on every part of the band. What the heck is going on here? I thought that I had a problem with my selectivity.
I see.
And you were all over, and I thought it was wonderful when I tuned into the Hale-Bopp thing.
Well, there you go. Thank you. Thank you very much for the call. That must have been some night to tune in, huh? Yep. I've got a feeling that we haven't heard the end of that story yet. I'm referring, of course, to the Thanksgiving program. I don't know what more there is going to be, but I can tell you that I'm trying to do some follow-up. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I'm nuclear infected.
Well, you are if you don't turn your radio off. Are you there? No, I guess you're not. I think you probably are too, sir. And if you'll turn off the light, you'll find you're glowing. Wildcard line, you're on the air.
Ethan and San Diego.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Bannum book, I believe, had Super Nature by Watson, and it mentioned about that, where he measured the soul, people dying, lost weight.
Who did that?
Mr. Watson, I believe.
Who is Mr. Watson?
Well, that was the author of Super Nature, was the name of the book that came out like 20 years or so ago. I lost track of it. It mentions all sorts of things like Killian photography and all that.
Uh-huh.
That kind of thing.
Well, a lot of people, sir, have mentioned it, but I've never seen the actual medical study that that documented it until now.
I was going to call. It was actually, it was about the solar system. I had an idea. It was mentioning about the asteroid belt. Now, I talked about that before on another show about where it could have come from. Is I was thinking maybe if we had a binary star system, which most stars, larger number of them are, and had a collision, created an asteroid belt, and caused nuclear fusion.
Mm-hmm.
NOVA created the Jupiter, Neptune, Uranus, Neptune, the gaseous planets outward, and all the gases that went towards the sun was absorbed and would create the asteroid belt at Neptune at a different orbit, angular orbit from the other planets and the like. Was occurring to me, might be a thought, and Earth might have been the center when it fused, basically collapsed and fused.
Well, that might be. I appreciate the thought. I don't know how it was all formed. I don't know. Wildcard line? No. First-time caller line. You're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Jack from Kansas City, Missouri.
Hi, Jack.
I just joined the show about like 15 minutes ago.
Right.
I listened to you in like the morning. I just got home from work. I'm curious about the moment of death weight loss.
All right. It's the find, I think, of the year for me. All my life, adult life, I've heard rumors of this medical study that was done about weight loss at the exact precise moment of death. Well, guess what? I've got it. Guess what? We've got it typed in. It's on the website.
Okay, it's not. I don't have like a computer or anything, so
uh-huh.
I was wondering if it was an article in some magazine or something.
It was published originally in 1907.
Oh, really?
In American Medicine, complete series, volume number 8.
Uh huh.
And it's entitled "Hypothesis Concerning Soul Substance, Together with Experimental Evidence of the Existence of Such Substance" by Duncan McDougall, M.D., Haverhill, Massachusetts. And he did actual medical experiments with 6 human beings who died.
Okay.
And he documented...
And it was always a 3/4 ounce?
Yes, sir, 3/4 ounce.
Okay, and it had nothing to do with, like, you know, the moment of death, your bladder and everything, like...
No. All
right, okay.
No. All okay. Of that is accounted for and explained.
Mm-hmm. I understand that. Uh-huh. Because it sounded really interesting, and I tuned in Sunday night, and you were saying that you were going to talk about it tonight, and I'm glad I caught the show tonight, too.
Yes, sir.
It was very interesting.
All right. Well,
I wish I had a computer, and it's like I like listening to you. You incite me a lot and everything, but...
It will also be in our newsletter.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. There is no other way presently I can think of to share this with everybody, and if there was, I'd be doing it. I realize everybody does not have a computer by a long shot. So this is the first effort. The second level of effort is to get it into the newsletter. And we will, of course, discuss it this coming weekend. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. I won't be able to reach an internet cafe till tomorrow, but I was wondering if you could put up on your website the thing about the star satellite also.
Telstar 401?
Yes. That would be much appreciated if you could do that, because that sounds very important. It sounds official.
It is official. It's gone. Now, they don't know what killed it, but what can kill a satellite and not even leave a trace of it in orbit?
And you say it was the Defense Department or something that saw something coming toward it?
NORAD. According to what I just read you here, NORAD, yes.
So is it possible you may put that up on your UFO part of your website?
I'll see what I can do.
That would be great. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Take care. And what I would suggest that everybody do before commenting is get to a friend or something, if you have to, with a computer, and get to my website and read this medical study... And then comment. All right? It explains it all. It's up there now as of tonight. If you have a hard time getting in, keep trying. We've got a new server, and it should let many more people in at the same time. It's entitled Hypothesis Concerning Soul Substance Together with experimental evidence of the existence of such substance. By Duncan McDougall, medical doctor, Haverhill, Mass. And it is one fascinating article. Well, that's it, folks. From the high desert, I'm Art Bell. Good night, America. Good night, Canada. Good night, Cosmos.